Welcome to LiveDoff, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Chav Beis, where three lines from the top says the Gemara, Umi Islay, Rav Yehuda Hirer. The Gemara here is a moment discussing the halacha of a Baal Keri, one who had a seminal discharge. He is prohibited from speaking words of tefillah, words of Torah. In some cases, he's allowed to be maharer, he's allowed to contemplate those words. And the Gemara concluded that all shittis, whether it's the Tanakhama or Rabbi Yehuda, they agree to this limitation imposed upon a Baal Keri. Says the Gemara, is that so? Umi islay, the Rabbi Yehuda hearer, does Rabbi Yehuda agree with this limitation of a hearer imposed upon a Baal Keri? Vatanya, haven't we learned in the Braisa otherwise? Baal Keri she'en li mayim litboil. A Baal Keri who has no water available to be toivel, Kiri Krishma, he recites Krishma, Veinu Mevarach, but does not make the bracha leila fanea, v'leila achreya, not before Krishma, not following Krishma. Voichal pitoi, he eats his bread, u'mevarach achreya, and he makes a bracha achroina, brechas hamazayin, following his bread. Veinu Mevarach lefanea, but not beforehand. Aval maharer b'liboi, but he's only allowed to contemplate, meaning, this that we said that he recites Krishma and the bracha achroina on bread, this is only done through hearer, through contemplating in one's heart. But he does not express it with his lips. This is the opinion of Rameir. Either way, he's allowed to express it with his lips. So here we see clearly the Rav Yehuda does not impose any restriction on a Baal Keri. Says the Gemara, Amar Nachmar Yitzchak. Here it's different. Here we're speaking about brachos. Rav Yehuda only allows the Baal Keri to recite brachos. Why? Because brachos assume their own category. A son of Rav Yehuda equates brachos to hilchos derech eretz. They're equated to the same status as hilchos derech eretz. Those are brachos which dictate to us our proper mode of behavior, hilchos derech eretz, and that a Baal Keri is allowed to engage in. Rav Yehuda has a leniency. He allows the Baal Keri to engage in those halachos. Similarly, regarding brachos, they are considered our regular mode of life, our mode of behavior, and they are equated to hilchos derech eretz, and Rav Yehuda does not impose restrictions on brachos. However, regarding everything else, Torah, Krishma, Rav Yehuda agrees to the restriction imposed upon a Baal Keri. Says Mar Desanya, as you will see, Rav Yehuda's view included in the following braisa, which lists for us a list of no less than 8 opinions regarding the restriction imposed upon a Baal Keri. Desanya. You will teach Torah to your children and grandchildren. And right nearby, it says the following pasuk. Recall, remember, re-experience the day that you stood in front of Hashem and Har Sinai when you accepted the Torah. Says the Gemara, we are meant to connect the two things. Just like there, Bishas Matan Torah, at the time of giving the Torah, it was an experience of utmost seriousness. It was be'ema with awe, be'ira with fear, be'reses with quivering, be'zia with quaking. Afkan here too, nowadays, when one involves himself in the study of Torah, is meant to be done with utmost sincerity and seriousness. Be'ema, be'ira, be'reses, be'zia. Mekan amru. From here the Chacham derived the following halacha. That a Baal Keri, since his tumah involved a degree of lightheadedness, therefore he is restricted from learning Torah until he purifies himself and prepares himself properly for Torah study. Mikan amru, ha'azavim, v'ametzeroim, u'bon alnides. These are individuals that contain a tumah of high degree. Azav, ametzera, one who had relations with anida and has tumas shiva siyama, tumah chamura. Nevertheless, mutarim, they're allowed to engage in Torah study. Mutarim l'kris b'Torah, u'b'nevi'im, u'b'ksuvim, l'shnais b'mishnah, they can learn mishnais, u'b'gemara, v'halochis, v'agadis, and drush. There's no restriction. Aval, however, Baal Keri, and one who is a Baal Keri, asurim, they are restricted from learning Torah. As Rashi explains, since their tumah involved a degree of lightheadedness, of kalas roish, so although it is a great mitzvah, mitzvah s'oina is a great mitzvah and a great obligation, nevertheless, since Tashmish inevitably involves a degree of kalas roish, one must purify himself, be mitar himself, to enable himself to approach Torah with the proper frame of mind of Ema, Yira, Reses, and Zia. So according to Tanakama, he's not allowed to engage in any form of Limanat Torah. Rabbi Yossi, there's a leniency. Shoyinahu b'ergilios, he can learn those missions which he is ruggling, which he learns them in an habitual manner. He knows them well, he doesn't need to concentrate. But don't concentrate and delve into them. Rabbi Yonis ben Yosef, Vayim Matzias HaMishnah, you can delve into Mishnayis, but not into Vayim Matzias HaGemara, can't delve into Gemara. Rashi says we are Goyis Midrash, these are the prices of Sefer HaSafri, which elaborate on the Psukim. The Bach mentions that from here on in, whenever the Amid, in our Amid, whenever the Gemara mentions the word Gemara, we're meant to substitute it with the word Medrash, these are the Brises. So we have another Shita regarding Balkari. Her Nasan of Shalom Aymer, Af Matzias HaGemara, he may delve into Gemara, be careful not to say the words of Hashem that are mentioned in these Medrashim, in the Psukim. Rav Yochanan Sandla, who was the Talmud of Rav Akiva, said in the name of Rav Akiva, Mishum Rav Akiva Aymer, Leikonis LeMedrash Kalikar, he shouldn't engage in Medrash at all. We're afraid that perhaps he will recite the Askaris, the names of Hashem. V'amigla, some opinion, some say, Leikonis LeMedrash Kalikar, the base of Medrash Kalikar, he shouldn't even enter the base of Medrash at all. And finally, Shita Rehuda, which was Rav Yehuda Aymer, Shainuhu Behilcha is Derecheretz. He may learn Hilchas Derecheretz. Rashi brings a brisa of Darkan Shetakamim D'Chachamim, which is a brisa in Mesechus Erech Eretz, and so on. These are Hilchas Erech Eretz, and therefore they're allowed to a Balkari. Continues the Gemara. Masu Rabbi Yehuda, Shira Keri, he was a Balkari, Vayim Ahalach Agabe Anar, he was walking near the river. Amo Yitamidav, Rabbeinu, Shane Lanu Perek Echad Bechot Erech Eretz, teach us something from the brisa of Erech Eretz, which is allowed for a Balkari. Yorad V'Tovo, he nevertheless immersed, he was toivel v'shana lahem, and then he taught it to him. Amr lo, so they were perplexed, they told him, Loikach matan Rabbeinu, didn't you already teach us that shoynu b'lchus derech eretz? A balkari is allowed to learn b'lchus derech eretz. So why did you need to be toivel prior to teaching it to us? Amr lemsi responded, af apish meikel ani al achirim, even though I'm lenient regarding others, machmer ani al atzmi, I am stringent, I am more machmer regarding myself, and therefore I require to be toivel, and then teach you. Tanya, so we have a list, a summary of 8 shittas regarding the restrictions upon a Balkari. According to Tanakama, he's restricted from any form of learning. According to Rav Yosi, he's allowed to be shaynei beregiliyos in those mishnas which he is used to reciting. According to Rav Yosim and Yosef, he may even delve into mishnayos. According to Rav Nosson of Shalom, he may even delve into Gemara without saying the askaris. According to Rav Yochanan Sandal, the Talmud of Rav Akiva, who quoted Rav Akiva, which holds he should not engage in Medrash and Gemara at all. According to the second Shita, he may not even enter the Beis HaMedrash. Finally, according to Rav Yehuda, he may study Hilchas Derech Eretz. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, Rav Yehuda ben Maseir Omer, this is the second of the widest lines. The Shita of Rav Yehuda ben Maseir is as follows. Ein divrei Torah mekabel tuma. Words of Torah are not susceptible. Do not mekabel tuma. And even one who is a Balkari may fully engage in words of Torah. So this is a very lenient opinion. In fact, there was a story, Masa B'Talmud Echad, a student, Shaya Megamgem, who was mumbling, he hesitated to express the words of Torah clearly. He was mumbling the words of Torah, L'mala, Rav Yehuda ben Maseir, in the presence of Rav Yehuda ben Maseir. And Rav Yehuda ben Maseir noticed him. Amalei told him, B'nei my son, why are you doing so? Psach picha, open your mouth with confidence. V'yurud v'recha, let the words shine out. She'ein divrei Torah mekabel tuma. The words of Torah do not become tamei. She'nemar, haloi dvor, koi dvorei ke'eshnum Hashem. My words are like fire, says Hashem. My eish ein mekabel tuma. Just like fire does not get tuma, does not become tamei. Af divrei Torah ein mekabel tuma. So too the divrei Torah are not mekabel tuma. And you may fully engage yourself in the words of Torah even if you are a baal keri. Omar mar. We learned earlier an opinion regarding the limitation of a Balkari. Matzia was a Mishnah, and Matzia is a Gemara. He may delve into Mishnayos, but not into Gemara. And again, as the Bach said, Gemara here substituted the word Medrash. He can't delve into Medrash. The Brises, which elaborate on the Psukim, says the Gemara, Messiah, Leila Rav Loi. This opinion supports the opinion of Rav Loi, who said the same halacha. The Omar Rav Loi, Omar Bach, Rayakev, Mishnah Rabbeinu, the name of Rabbeinu, Rashi says this means Rav, which is halacha. Matzia is a Mishnah, and Matzia is a Gemara. Then about Keri can delve into Mishnayos, but not into Gemara. So it's the same opinion. Continues the Gemara, Tanai. This will correspond with the list of Tanai, the opinions mentioned in the following brace. Matzias HaMishnah ben Matzias HaGemara. He can delve into Mishnayos, but not into Gemara. This is the Shita of Rav Meir. So this corresponds with the Shita we just mentioned. Rav Yehuda ben Gamliel Oime, B'shem Chananya ben Gamliel, Zeveza Asur, that regarding Gemara, he cannot engage the Gemara, whether it's superficially or by being by being matziah, by delving into Gemara. Don't engage in Gemara at all. Va'amrila, there's a third shita, which is zevezem mutar, he can engage in whatever he wants. It is allowed. Says the Gemara, manda amar zevezem asur. According to the shita, that Gemara is not allowed to balkari at all. This is corresponding to the shita of Rabbi Yechim and Asando mentioned in the first Braisa that holds that regarding Medrash, regarding Gemara, Balkari cannot engage at all. Manda amar zevezem mutar. The final shita which allows him to involve himself in Gemara in any fashion is Kavidu and Seira, which is the most lenient shita mentioned earlier that doesn't restrict the Balkari in any way. The Vertoya are not Makabal Tuma, and he may learn in any form or fashion that he chooses. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Nachmar Yitzchak, there are three leniences found in the Gemara, and the custom, our custom is to follow those kulas. Noig Alma, the world, the public, follows the leniency of Kahani Tlas Sabi, of the following three elders. Says the Gemara, what are the three kulois? Number one, Rabbi Loi Reish Sages, the Shita of Rabbi Loi regarding Reish Sages, which is the mitzvah to give a kohen a portion of the sharing of the wool. Bereish Sages, the first portion of the sharing of the wool. Rabbi Yishev Kalaim, we follow the leniency of Rabbi Yishev regarding Kalaim. And finally, Rabbi Yudah ben Aseira of Divrei Torah, which we already know what that is. Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Loi Bereish Sages, we follow the Shita of Rabbi Loi regarding Bereish Sages. The Sanya of Rabbi Loi says as follows. Rabbi Loi Oimei Bereish Sages, the mitzvah to give Bereish Sages the portion of the shearing, Ein Enoig Ablaretz, is only applicable, is only obligatory in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz Laretz. So we follow this leniency. Number two, Rabbi Yishev Kalaim, Kedichsiv. Kalaim, one may not plant a mixture in his vineyard. Says Rabbi Yishev, what does this mean? Rabbi Yishev Omer, Lo Ilam Eine Chayev, he is not Chayev, Ad Sheyizra Chita Usa Oira, V'Chartzon, V'Mapoel Etziad. If he mixes up a kernel of wheat, a kernel of barley, together with a grape seed in one planting, that is considered to be Kalai HaKerem. Rabbi Yishev learns the pasuk of the Sizra Karach HaKalaim as follows. You may not plant kalayim, meaning a mixture of two seeds, in the kerem together with the grape seed. So it needs to be a total of three seeds. So we follow this leniency. There's no chiyuv in kalayim kerem unless he plants three seeds together. And finally, we follow the leniency of Rabbi Yudah ben Aseira b'divrei Torah. The Sanya of Yudah ben Aseira oime ein divrei Torah mekavon tuma and is allowed to a balkari. Continues the Gemara. Continue with this kula of Rabbi Yudah ben Aseira, Kiyosef Ze'iri, when he came, he said, Omar batlua litfilusa, indeed they abolished the requirement to be tovel, following in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Yudah ben Aseira, who does not require balkari to be tovel, to purify himself, to learn divrei Torah. But Amri Yosam had a different version in the statement of Ze'iri, as follows, batlua litfilusa, they abolished netilas sedayim. The Gemara will explain. Manda Amar Batlua Litvilusa, they abolished Tvila, Kavi Yudah ben Aseira. Manda Amar Batlua Linitilusa, it was referring to Kihada of Chizda, Layit, he condemned, he cursed. He looked unfavorably upon Amanda Mahadar Mai, one who sought to find water, but even twice in the time of prayer. He looked to find, he sought water before he davened. The Gemara explains earlier it's referring to Krishma, before he recites Krishma, he's looking to find water to wash his hands. And that is not recommended since he may miss the deadline, this man Krishma. Therefore, that is not meant to be done. One is meant to merely use a midi divinaki, something which cleanses, and not be particular about water. So this is what he meant to say when he said, but lo lintilusa, they abolished the practice of looking for water. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabban, Baal Keri, Shenosno, Tisha Kaben Mayim Tor. The Gemara will teach us a new leniency regarding Baal Keri. Not only can he purify himself through tefillah, but even through nosnu olav, tisha kaben mayim, even by pouring on him 9 kaben of water, which is the amount sufficient to wash a person, that too purifies him for Torah and for tefillah. The amount of tisha kaben nowadays is around 13 liters. So this was another way to purify a balkari. Says the Gemara, Nachum ish gamzu lachshal rekiva. He whispered this solution of tisha kaben to rekiva. Rabbi Kiva lachshel ben Azai, he whispered it to Ben Azai. And what happened then? Ben Azai yotza v'shanal tamid v'shuk. He went and announced it in public to his students. Says the Gemara, pligi ba'tu amaroim ma'arava. There was a machloikis, a dispute between two amaroim in the Western Eretz Yisrael. between Rav Yosef bar Avin, Rav Yosef bar Zvida, regarding the version of events. Chad Tani Shana, one held, maintained that Ben Azai was Shana, he actually taught it in public. He wanted everybody to know about the Halacha of Tisha B'Av. V'chad Tani, one maintained that he merely lachsha, he just whispered it. He didn't want everybody to know about it. Why? Says the Gemara Man, the Tani Shana, the one that maintained that he indeed publicized it, Mishom Bitol Torah, or Mishom Bitol Pri B'Ribya. He didn't want people to refrain from learning Torah. He didn't want people to refrain from Tashmish and to avoid the mitzvah Pri B'Ribya. Therefore, he told them, he publicized this additional method of purification, the Halach of Tisha B'Av. He didn't want people to avoid learning or Pri B'Ribya on account of this requirement of tefillah. He wanted them to know about this other method of Tisha B'Av, which is certainly more convenient and easier to obtain than to be toivel. So that's why he publicized it. Oman de Tani Lachsha, the other shita that held that he merely whispered, he didn't want everybody to know about it. Why? Shaloyu talmidei chachamim metzuyim. He didn't want that Talmid Chacham should be found by their wives, like the custom of the Tarnagolim or the chickens who engage in excessive mating. Therefore, he wanted that the inconvenience involved with being Tevil, the requirement to be Tevil, should encourage people to moderate their behavior and conduct their life in moderation and properly. Therefore, he didn't want everybody to know about this Eitzah, about the solution, since he wanted that the general public should conduct their life in moderation. Continues the Gemara. Man, Amar Vyani, Shamati Shemekilimba, I heard that some are makel, some are very lenient and they allow to purify through Shishak, to Tisha B'Av. Shamati, and I heard Shemachmirimba, that some are stringent and they require tvila. One who is machmer, who is stringent in this regard to be toivel, he merits that they are marech yom avishnoisav, a day, his days and years are lengthened. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rishon Malevi, ma tivan shal tevi shachris? What's the point, what's the benefit of those who go to the mikvah and purify themselves by immersion in the morning from Keri? Says the Gemara, ma tivan? What do you mean, what's the benefit? Ha'iyu Amar, Rav Shmuel Levi himself maintains that Balkeri also be the Torah. We learned yesterday that Balkeri is also in the Torah according to Rav Shmuel Levi. So what do you mean? What's the point of being Tevil? That's why they're being Tevil. Ha'chikam, this is what he meant to say. Ma'tiven bar baron sa. Why are you meticulous regarding mikvah 40 sa? Efshe b'tisha kaven. You can pour merely 9 kaven on yourself. Ma'tiven b'tfila. Why do you need to immerse? Efshe b'nesina. You can pour the tisha kaven. So you do not need to be scrupulous regarding being Tevil, can use the solution of Tisha B'Av. Amar Rav Chanina, there is a point. Yes, there is a benefit in requiring being Tevil. Geder Goder Gajuba. The requirement to be Tevil actually created a gate, was very beneficial in prevention of an Avera. The Sanya, as we learned, Ma'asa Be'echad Shetav Ishad Var Avera. One who was engaged, who approached a woman for an Avera, Amr Lai, so she told him, Reka, you empty one, Yesh Lecha Bar Misa, do you have a mikvah, Shatatayu Bem, that you will immerse him in there? Miat Pirish. He desisted. So we see from here, yes, there is a tremendous benefit in the requirement of tefillah. So Rechanina says, Gedel, Gedel, Gadel, Gadruba. The requirement to be tefillah creates a great fence, as we saw in illustrated in this story. Therefore, yes, there is a point and purpose to require specifically tefillah. Amar Rav Huna l'Rabbanan, Rabbi Yisai, m'nipnei ma atem mezalzlim tefillah zu? Why are you belittling? Why did you do away? Are you not particular and scrupulous regarding this tefillah of tefillah skeri? Im shem tzina, you're hesitant because of the cold water in the mikvah. Ef shem rachat soyis, you can use a merchat, a bath, even if it is mayim shuvin, even if it is mayim inside a vessel, that's okay. Amar Rav Chisda, v'chesh tefillah b'chamin? How can you give them advice to go into a merchatz, into a bath, which is warmed up? Can a person do that? Can you do tefillah in a vessel? You can't do that. Amar Leisi told him, Rav Ada bar Ava kal kavasach. Indeed, Rav Ada bar Ava agrees with you that one may not immerse for tefillah's carry in a vessel. But evidently, he disagrees. He held that it is okay. Says the Gemara, Rav Zera havayosev agna demaya. He was sitting in a container of water, Bemasusa, in the bathhouse. Please go get me 9 kavin v'shadi alai and pour it on me. Amalei Rechia bar Abba, l'amalei l'markuli hai. You're already sitting in a container of water. Why is that not sufficient? Why do you need, in addition to that, to have 9 kavin to be poured on you? You're already sitting in the water. Amalei, so he told him, no. The Chacham were very particular in their requirements. Karbaim sa. They were very particular, just like the requirement of tefillah in Arba Imsa requires one to immerse in the Arba Imsa, in the mikvah. Ma Arba Imsa b'tefillah, you need to immerse in the mikvah. V'lo b'nesina, you can't take it and pour it on you. Meaning that the halacha of Arba Imsa was specifically said regarding being tevil in them. Af tishav kavin, so to the eitzah, the option of tishav kavin was b'nesina v'lo b'tefillah, was regarding being poured, and not regarding one who is immersed in them. Meaning that two separate options. You can either immerse in Arba Imsa, or you can have Tisha Kavan to be poured on you. But if you sit in Tisha Kavan, that is not sufficient. Continues the Gemara. Rav Nachman tikein chasva of Tisha Kavan. Rav Nachman, he set aside a chasva, a container, a barrel, which contained the amount of Tisha Kavan to be used by the Talmidim in the morning to purify them from Tumas Keri. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Akiva. He said as follows. Rav Akiva viewed the Glustra Amru. They made the following statement. This solution, this option of pouring Tisha Kavan is very limited. It's not meant for all. Loi Shanu, it is only meant ala l'chayla l'oinsa. It's meant for somebody who was unwell and his carry came unintentionally. It was l'oinsa. And then the Chacham were lenient with him. They did not burden him, did not require him to go to the mikvah. He can use the option of Tisha Kavan being poured on him. But an unwell person who is a Balkari, became a Balkari intentionally, he did Tashmish, for instance. In that case, there's no solution of Tisha Kavan. Abraham saw he requires to immerse himself. So there's no point, they said, that. So Rav Dimi said, based on this statement, there's no point in establishing the chatzba batishas kavin, the container containing tisha kavin for the talmidim, since they are balikarim via intention. It wasn't unintentional. It was intentional. It was margal. Therefore, they do not have this option of using tisha kavin. Says the Gemara, if so, Omar Rav Yosef, itver chatzvi Rav Nachman. His container was smashed up. It was broken. Meaning, there's no point. There's no purpose for the container. They couldn't use it anyways. So that is the first sheet of Rav Dimi, again, that the option of Tisha Kavan can only be applied to one who is a chayla, who is unwell, and the carry came unintentionally. However, ki asa Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, he said, Bu'usha, there was a story in Usha, be killed Rav Yosha in the Knesset Habayis, in the anteroom of Rav Yosha, v'shalu l'Rav Asi, and they asked Rav Asi regarding this halach Amar, who he said as follows, Leishanu, this option of Tisha Kavan was said can be applied to a Chayla Hamargal, one who is unwell, even if his tumma came intentionally. But if somebody is unwell and he became a Balkari unintentionally, he was an Aines, he is absolved completely. He doesn't even need Tisha Kavan. So according to this Shita, yes, one may use Tisha Kavan even if his tumah came intentionally. He was a margal. As long as he is a chayla, he is unwell. And as Rashi explained earlier, a Talmud Chacham is considered to be a chayla. They are generally considered to be weak. And therefore, certainly a Talmud may use the option of Tisha Kavan even if it came through being margal, it came intentionally. Says the Gemara, so, Omar Yosef, it's damit chatzvi Rav Nachman. His barrel, his container was rebuilt, put back together. It indeed has a plan, has a purpose, and has a use. It can be used for the Chachamim to pour themselves Tisha Kavan with this container, since they are considered to be a Chayle Hamargu. So we have a more stringent view of Rav Dimi, and we have a more lenient view of Ravin regarding the leniency of Tisha Kavan. According to Rav Dimi, it may only be used for a Chayle Le'ainzai, for an unwell person who became Makari through Aines. According to Ravin, it may be used for a Chayle Hamargul, even if the tumah came intentionally. Says the Gemara, how is it possible? How does it make sense that there was a dispute regarding the Takanas Ezra? Says the Gemara Michti, let's take a look. Kulu Amaroi V'Tanoi, but the Ezra Kamiflagid, they're disputing regarding interpreting the Takanas of Ezra, regarding the proper application and interpretation of Takanas Ezra of Ibal Keri. V'Nechsi Ezra Hechatikin. Let's take a look. Let's find out how he established this Takana. Explains Tosfos, since this was a Takana, which applies all the time, Tefila B'chol Yoyim, it was something that is rugged b'chol yoyim, something which is practiced on a daily basis. How does it make sense that we don't know in which manner it was established? Says the Gemara, Omar Abaye. The reason why there's a machlekes is because of the following reason. We know that Ezra tikein lebari hamargel emso. He's mesaken that a bari hamargel, one who is well, who is healthy, and he became tamei intentionally. He requires memsa, ubari la'imtzei teskaven. As well, Ezra was m'saken that a bari, somebody who was well, who was healthy, and he became tamei la'imtzei unintentionally, he's allowed to have tisha kaven. So, initially, Ezra was already m'saken two tracks, two options. For a bari hamargil, memsa. For a bari la'imtzei, we could be more lenient with him, and we do not require a mikvah, but rather tisha kaven. So that was the initial takana. Now, va'osa amaroi upligi b'chayla. The amaroi are disagreeing regarding the application of takanas Ezra to an unwell person. Marsavar chayla hamargul kubari hamargul. One shita holds, this is the first shita, the more stringent shita of Rav Dimi, he holds that we do not differentiate between a bari, between a chayla, they both have the same halachis. Chayla hamargul is kubari hamargul. He needs a mikvah. V'chayla lo'intzoy, kubari lo'intzoy. He needs tisha kavin. Umar Savar, the second sheet of Rav Dimi, he differentiates, he makes a distinction between a chayla and a bari. Umar Savar, chayla hamargul, kibari lointzai. A chayla, he gets bumped down one level. A chayla hamargul means the highest form of chayla who became tummy intentionally. He will have merely the halacha of bari lointzai, which is tisha kavin. However, a chayla lointzai, a chayla who became tamei lo'intzer unintentionally, he will be pater miklum. He's totally, completely absolved from anything. He doesn't even require tisha kavin. So according to the more lenient shita, we bump down the chayla one level. The chayla ha-margel, he gets the lower requirement, which is tisha kavin. The chayla lo'intzer is absolutely absolved. He's pater miklum. So that is the view of Abaye, once again, that according to Ezra, there are already two levels instituted. A bari hamargel, mikvah. A bari la'intzai, tisha kavin. Regarding a chayla, that's where there was the machlekes. According to the more stringent view, a chayla has the same status as a bari, and therefore a chayli hamargel, mikvah. A chayli la'intzai, tisha kavin. According to the more lenient view of Rav Dimi, a chayla hamargel is bumped down. He requires merely tisha kavin, and a chayli la'intzai is pater miklum. Says the Gemara Amar Rava, Nehida Sikin Ezra Tfila, I have a different interpretation of the events. Ezra was only Mesakin Tfila. Nesina Mitikin, how could you suggest that Ezra was Mesakin Nesina Tisha Kavim? That is not so. V'amar Mar, we learned Ezra Tikin Tfila Balikarian. It's not so that Ezra was ever Mesakin the concept of Tisha Kavim. Therefore, Rabbah has a different view, a little bit of different view of events than Abaye. And he says as follows El Amar Rabbah, Ezra Tikin Tfila Laboria Margul Memsa. Ezra was merely masakin one takana that a bari hamargel, a healthy person who became a tamei intentionally, he is required to be toivel on a mikra of memsa. That's it. He didn't discuss anything regarding an oinus. He only discussed the highest form bari hamargel memsa. V'asar Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan came along v'iskinu lebari lointzei tisha kavin, and they instituted the second option for a bari, a well person who became tamei unintentionally. He's allowed to have nesina tisha kavin. So the concept, the option of tisha kavin was added after the takanas Ezra. So that is the introduction. Now, v'asar amaroi, the amaroim came along, the amaroim which is Rav Dimi and Ravin, and they had a machlekes. The kamiflik, and they had a machlekes regarding a chayla. So the continuation of Rava, which will be exactly identical to Abaye's version of events regarding the machlekes, it was only this opening part that Abaye disputes. He holds that the takanas Ezra was merely regarding a bari hamargel, which is memsa. The Rabbanon added the option of Tisha B'Av for a Bari L'Ointzai. Regarding a Chayla, that again is dependent upon the dispute between Rav Dimi and Ravin, just like Abaye presented it. The Amaroi came along, and they're disputing regarding a Chayla. Mar Savar, the most stringent Shita holds, Chayla HaMargul, Kabari HaMargul, we don't differentiate between a Bari and a Chayla, they have the same status. A Chayla HaMargul is the same as a Bari HaMargul, which is a mikvah. The Chayla La'intzei, Kabari La'intzei, and a Chayla La'intzei has the same halacha as a Bari La'intzei, which is Tishakab. Omar Savar and the Molinian Shita, which is Ravin holds, that Labari, there's a difference between a Bari and a Chayla, that Labari HaMargil Memsa, a Bari who's Margil, he needs a mikvah. But Chayla HaMargil is bumped down, and he needs only Kibari Lointza, he's the same status as a Bari Lointza, which is low level, which is Tisha Kavan. But Aval Chayla Lointza, Patamaklum, but a Chayla Lointza, which is the lowest level, he is completely exempt. So let's make a quick summary. The sheet is a machlokes between Abaye and Rava regarding the version of events. According to Abaye, Ezra initially was masaking both takonis. A Bari HaMargil requires Memsa. A Bari La'ointzoi can suffice for Tisha Kavan. The machlokes Amaroim is regarding a Chayla. According to Rav Dimi, a Chayla HaMargil is the same like a Bari HaMargil. We don't have to differentiate between a Bari and a Chayla. They're the same halachis. A Chayla HaMargil needs Memsa. A Chayli La'intzai needs Tisha Kavan. According to the more lenient Shita of Ravin, a Chayli HaMargil requires merely Tisha Kavan, and a Chayli La'intzai is Potter. Rava goes along with the same interpretation of the Amarayim's Machlaikis, however, he only says one thing different. He says that the Takanas Ezra is merely regarding a Bari HaMargil, which is Memsa. He did not discuss any option regarding Tisha Kavan. However, the Rabbanon added the option of a Bari La'intzai for Tisha Kavan. And the Machlokes Amoraim follow that, whether we equate a Chayla, or whether we differentiate between a Bari and a Chayla. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Hilchasa, what is the halacha? What is the practical halacha? Bari HaMargil v'Chayla HaMargil Bar Memsa. U'Bari La'intzai Tisha Kavan, aval Chayla La'intzai Patim Miklum. Now, the Rashba says that this is incorrect Girsa. The proper Girsa reads as follows. Oma Rava, Hilchasa Bari HaMargil, this is the highest form, a well person, a healthy person who is Margil, who came to me intentionally, he requires a Bar Memsa. However, a Chayla HaMargil, which is a non-well person who became Tamei intentionally, or a Bari La'intzai, or a person who was well, and he became Tamei unintentionally, in that case, Tisha Kavan. Meaning that Rava follows the more lenient Shita of Ravin that differentiates between a Bari and a Chayla. He holds, just like a Bari La'intzai is only required to have Tisha Kavan, same thing regarding a Chayla HaMargil. He's bumped down. He requires the same requirement, the same tahara as a Bari La'intzai, which is merely Tisha Kavan, and Chayla La'intzai is totally exempt as Pator Miklum. So Ravin, according to the version of the Rashba, Paskins, he concludes, like the more lenient Shita of Ravin, that we differentiate between a Bari, a person who is well, and a person who is unwell, a person who is Chayla. Once again, a Bari HaMargil requires a Bar Misa. A Bari La'intzai requires Tisha Kavan. However, a Chayla is bumped down one level. A Chayla HaMargil requires merely Tisha Kavan. A Chayla HaMargil Tisha Kavan. A Chayla La'intzai is Patur Miklum. Good thing is the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Brice. This is right in the middle of the Yomid. Tana Rabbanan at the two dots. Balkeri Shnosnov Tisha Kavan Maim Tor. A Balkeri who had the 9 Kavan poured on him, he is Tor. Says the Brisa, this is only applied la'atzma, if he's learning Torah on his own, but if he's going and engaging and teaching Torah to others, that requires a higher level of purity. He can't merely suffice with Tisha Kavan, he must immerse in a mikvah. Rabbi Daimer, he can use 40 sa wherever they are. The Gemara will explain. What is the meaning of the Shita Tanakama? What is the meaning of the view of Rabbi Yudah? Says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Shomalevi. There was a pair, Rav Yochanan Shomalevi, it goes together as one pair. And Rav Lezer, Rav Yisrael Chanina, this was another pair. Chad mihazuga v'chad mihazuga. There was one individual from the first pair and one individual from the second pair who came to explain, to interpret the reisha, the meaning of the Tanakhama's opinion. And there was a machlekes, a dispute between them regarding the proper interpretation of the Tanakhama Shita. The Tanakhama differentiates between learning on your own and teaching to others. Teaching to others requires a full-fledged tahara purity of 40 so. So how do we go about explaining the words of Tanakhama? Chad Omar, one said as follows. Had Amris, this is what the Tanakhama stipulated, b'med v'amurim la'atzmoy, that only when one learns on his own, he can suffice with tisha kabin, aval achirim himself, but if you go on and teach others, you need a full-fledged purification process of 40 so. This is only applied, le'ishanu ala l'choyle hamargal. This is only applied to a choyle, a person who is unwell, and he became tamei intentionally. So this person, although ordinarily would suffice with pouring on him tisha kav, we're evidently following the more lenient view that a choyle hamargal is bumped down one level. He merely requires tisha kav. Nevertheless, when he's teaching others, he's bumped back up. He assumes the highest status. He's obligated to go to a mikveh since he's teaching others. Ava lo choyle lo ainse tisha kav. But if he's a choyle, a person who's unwell, who became tamei l'ainsai, unintentionally. Even if he teaches Torah to others, he's merely required to have tisha kav. So this is one view in the interpretation of the Tanakhama stipulation, that teaching others is more severe, and is more, requires more. V'chad amar, one shita said, that how do we interpret the words of Tanakhama differently? Kol acherim, when you're teaching others, even if he's an unwell person and he became tamei l'ainsai unintentionally, nevertheless, when you go teach others, adi'ika memsa, you must go and be tovel in a mikvah of 40 sa to teach others. So this was a dispute, a difference of opinion in interpreting the words of the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama requires that one who teaches others to go be tovel. Are we speaking about a choyle hamargel or even a choyle l'ainsai? Continues the Gemara. What about Rabbi Yehuda's view? What does Rabbi Yehuda mean? Abraham saw Mechamoke. Continues the Gemara. V'chad mi'ayzuga v'chad mi'ayzuga. There was one individual from the first group and one from the second pair. Aseifa that disagreed regarding the interpretation. In Rabbi Yehuda's words, Chad Amar once said, how do we explain Rabbi Yehuda? Chad Amar Rabbi Yehuda, mem saw Mechamoke. What Rabbi Yehuda meant to say when he said 40 saw anywhere, le'ishon al bakarka, he meant to say that if it's in the ground, then even if the 40 saw were mayim shuvin, were contained in a vessel, which is something which is not allowed in a ordinary mikveh, but regarding tefillas keri, that's allowed, since it is now found bakarka, since he poured into a pit in the ground. Aval bekelim, but if it's in a vessel, loy, that is not allowed. To that extent, we do not allow. Rechadam, and one maintained, afilu bekelim nami, even if the water is to be found in a vessel, it's presently in a kli for the purification of Valkyrie, that is sufficient. Continues the Gemara. Bishlami leman domar, afilu bekelim, it's all well according to the Shita that allows even in kelim. This is what Yudah meant when he said 40 saw anywhere, even in a kli. Review that says 40 saw b'chol makim, anywhere, even in a vessel, is okay, is kosher for tefillah of a Valkyrie. El leman domar, according to the view that Yudah never meant to allow to that extent, Bekarke in Bekelim Loi, he meant to allow Mayim Shuvin, water that was drawn in the Kli, but now was now poured in the Karka, that he allowed. Aval Bekelim Loi, but not in a vessel. So what is the general term that Rida is using? Why is Rida using Mekomakayim, this general term which seems to include everywhere? Lasuyimai, what is he coming to include? So it's Gemara, Lasuyimai Shuvin. He allows water that was drawn, that was Mayim Shuvin, that was already drawn in a vessel, but now it was poured into the ground of the Karka. That is allowed for the Tefillah Bakari. So in conclusion, we have Achleikis. In the Braisa, Tanakhama says, La'achirim, to teach others, that requires a greater level of purity. We have a Machleikis, how to interpret his words, whether he's referring to a Choyle Hamargel, or even a Choyle L'Ainsai. Now we have Rav Yehuda Shita, which allows Mayim Memsa B'chol Makim. We have a Machleikis, what does Mikol Makim mean? Is he coming to allow Mayim Shu'uvim in the Karka, or even in a Kli? Continues the Gemara of Papa, Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua v'Rav Bar Shmuel k'richu rifta ba'da adadi, they ate bread together and it came time for Birchas HaMazon. Amar Rav Papa, havu lididi livrich, let me be the one to bench for you, to be mighty you, to bench on your behalf. Why? Because although I was a Balkeri, nevertheless, 9 kavan of water was poured onto me, and I'm now tar, I can bench for you. He meant to teach them practical halacha, that although he was margil, he became tameh intentionally through tashmish. Nevertheless, the halacha is that a chole hamargil is enough to have tisha kavan, like the lenient shita mentioned earlier. Amulu rabba bar shmo tanina. You cannot do so. We learned in a brisa. When is tisha kavan enough? When one is merely engaged in his private affairs. But if you're coming to do so for others, to be mighty others, you require a much greater level of tahara memsa. You require memsa, and therefore you're not able to be mighty us in this manner. But rather, let me be the one to bench for you. Because I immerse in a mikvah. Rav Huna says, let me be the one to bench for you. I wasn't even a Balkari to begin with. I wasn't required to have Tisha Kavan or a mikvah. So I'm the best one of the three. Let me bench for everybody. Continues the Gemara. Rav Chama, Tavel b'mal yom de pischa. Rav Chama used to be Toivel on Erev Pesach, Lohitzi Ram de Chavasan, when he wanted to be Mitzi others, concludes the Gemara, but less Hilcha Kasavasei, the Halacha Lamaisa, practical Halacha, does not follow this stringent view, Rashi explains, either because even to be Mitzi others, one does not require to be Toivel in a mikvah, Tisha Kaban is sufficient, or because, as Rashi says, the Halacha Lamaisa, the common practice today is to follow the leniency of Rav Yehuda ben Sera, who allows the Balkari to engage in words of Torah and words of Tefillah. And as Rambam says, this Takana says, was not Spashet B'chol Yisrael, it was not accepted, and Rav Atzibah was not Yochel Lamed, but it was not something which majority of Klal Yisrael were able to follow through with, and therefore it was Batela, it became nullified. And nowadays it is not required, but nevertheless, some are stringent and do conduct themselves in this manner. Continues the Mishnah. Hayyamid Tfila, one who is more of Davin even Niska Shu Balkari, he remembers that he's a Balkari. Lo Yafsik. He does not interrupt Eli Yekatzer, but shortens his tefillah. Ben Yoni says means that he recites the beginning and the ends of the brachas. Yorad Litvil, he went to immerse in a mikvah and he's in the water. Says the Mishnah, Im Yochel Lalis Viskasis Likrus, if he has enough time available to go up, to ascend, to Liskasis, to cover himself with Likrus, and to recite Krishma, Achelot, Tehei Anesachama, before the sun begins to rise, which is the optimal time to recite Krishma, so he should do so, he should hurry up, Yalla Viskasis Vikra, and recite Krishma. But in Lav, if he has not enough time to do so, Liskasis B'mayim Vikra, he should cover himself in the water, and recite Krishma right there. For Iskasa, he shouldn't use Leibemaimaraim, water that has a bad smell, but Leibemaimisha, water that was used to soak in it the flax, which is also bad smelling, Ashiyatel Sechamayim, until he dilutes it with water. Rashi explains, it's referring to Meraglayim, urine, and once he puts a certain amount of water in it, as the Gemara will explain later, he's allowed to recite Krishna in their proximity. Continues the Gemara, Vekama Yarchik Menem and Atsoya Dal Damis. How much does one have to distance himself from Meraglaim or from Tzoy, human waste, for Amis? Tan Rabbanan, Hayoimer Tfila of Niska Shu Balkari, Layafsik Ali Katzer, he shouldn't interrupt, but rather shorten his Tfila. Hayokoyber Toyra of Niska Shu Balkari, if he's in the middle of learning and he remembers that he's Balkari, Eidem Afsik Vayla, he doesn't interrupt and stops right there. Elo Megam Gimim Koyra, but mumbles and concludes his learning in that manner. A Balkari is not allowed to read in the Torah in a Beis HaKnesses more than 3 psukim, which is the minimum requirement for an aliyah. Tan yidach, feel one who is davening, brought tzoy connect, that he sees tzoy human waste opposite him. One is not allowed to daven in such close proximity to tzoya. Mahalach lefanav, so he continues walking. Ashiz rekenala chayr of dal adamas. He ensures that the tzoya is actually behind him, 4 amos away from him. So the Gemara about Tani Litzdodin, we learned in the Brayse that it is sufficient to arrange that the tzoya should be on his sides. He's not required to have it la'chera behind him, like kasher, it is not difficult. Hod the efshar, the efshar. If he's able to, he has the ability to have the tzoya behind him, fine. But if he's in a position that he can't do so, Suppose he's in front of a river, in front of a building. He can't proceed in a manner that the tzoya will be behind him. And as the Farshim say, he doesn't want to turn around because he wants to daven towards the east. So in that case, let's daven is sufficient. If he's davening and he finds tzoya in his place, even though he sinned by not inspecting the area before he davened, it's speaking about a case where he should have inspected. He should have suspected that this was a place to have tzoya. Tefila nevertheless is valid. How can that be so? The carbon of a rasha is an abomination. Tefila is equated to avoid it, to a carbon. How can you say that this person's tefila in this manner when he should have inspected it? He should have made sure that it's clean from tzoya. How can you say it's accepted? Since he sinned by neglecting and not making sure that this place was pure, even though he davened, it is a damnation, it is a te'eva. And as Tesis says, nevertheless, according to the Rishi Tazri, he can daven over, he's required to daven over in a place which is free and pure from anything unpure or undesirable.